Well, good afternoon. My name is Thomas Provencely. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and Berlin. Now, the title of my talk is Light Matter Interaction and Cosmic Dust. It's a little different than most of you have been presenting. This dust has been around for a long time. But in the course of coming to this conference, I realized that there are certain problems I'm having with what you're doing. I'm going to highlight that as I go through. Introduction. In 1926, Hubble, and most of you know this, but logically I have to present it, he made redshift measurements of light from distant galaxies and suggested the universe was expanding, thereby supporting Einstein's general relativity theory. The expanding universe was based on the velocity measurements of distant galaxies inferred from Doppler's redshift of light from those galaxies. Okay? Observation. My observation. And since Hubble, galaxy velocities from redshift have led science to believe the universe is expanding and dark matter is necessary to hold galaxy clusters together. Proposal? General relativity is questionable because galaxy velocities from redshift are overstated by cosmic dust. Going way back to Hubble, that's my observation. And dark matter is therefore not real, it's an illusion. Not a physical property of the universe. You can't go out and measure it, although they're trying to do that, as you all know. It cannot be discovered by experiment. Newtonian mechanics, therefore, most likely governs galaxy dynamics. That's kind of the preface to my talk. Now, QM here is quantum mechanics. I'm going to briefly talk about this comparison. This argument has been going on for over 100 years, but classical physics allows atoms in quantum size, cosmic dust particles, to fluctuate in temperature. Quantum mechanics, however, forbids temperature fluctuation in cosmic dust. Again, the cosmic dust is nanoscale, nanoparticles. The quantum mechanics requires conservation of the galaxy photons when they're absorbed. The mechanism has to be non-thermal, right? If there's no heat capacity, you can't conserve it. And this means that the re-emission of redshifted galaxy photons or the light is a way of conserving it. It has to be non-thermal. Optical redshift. Here you see the definition of the redshift, Z, is what they measure. And I show it as the sum of two wavelengths, delta lambda V and delta lambda D. And you can see the galaxy recession is the one you want, delta lambda V. Now, delta lambda D is the wave increment caused by the cosmic dust. And recession redshift is Z sub V, and the cosmic dust redshift is Z sub D. In 1926, when Hubble did this, he assumed what he was measuring was the true recession velocity of the galaxy at that time. However, you can see here there's a Z sub D here. In effect, he ignored the dust, and even till the day he died, he questioned his measurements, if you know this. Something he's not right, but I'm going to go on here. Galaxy velocity measurement. Here I show the relationship between the recession velocity, V, of the galaxy and the speed of light. And this is an expression. And if you reduce this for Z measurement much less than 1, what you come up with is a simple form. The V over VC is equal to Z measurement. Now, in 1970, Vera Rubin and others, they did a redshift study of the M31 galaxy with the nitrogen 2 line. This is in 6583 angstroms. And I show you here a little calculation that shows what they went through at that time. Now, the typical Z was 0.001, and what this means, they had to resolve around 6.5 angstroms out of 6583. This is not easy because the lines were not clear. Very difficult to do. Anyhow, you can substitute some numbers here. You're talking velocities of the galaxies less than 300 kilometers per second. Give you a feel. This is what they measured with the redshift at that time. I'm afraid this is not the correct. I had trouble loading this, and this is different. Alright, what I show here is this relationship. This is the Planck energy of the atom versus the electromagnetic confinement wavelength in microns. Show two curves here. This yellow curve is at 300 Kelvin. This blue curve is 2.7 Kelvin. This is the curve. This is the Planck law. You all know this. And the important point here is, as you have long wavelengths, what happens? The energy of the atom is kT, which we know from classical physics, right? But as you see here, at very short wavelengths, it vanishes. That is, the atom cannot conserve energy by changing temperature. Now, classical physics is dotted lines. Quantum mechanics differs. It allows kT. It does allow kT, but only at the macro scale. And the question you have to ask is, how do you get the wavelength from macroscopic down to here? If I'm going to argue that there's no heat capacity to the atom, I have to somehow show this, right? The confinement of the atom in cosmic dust is a natural consequence of the high surface-to-volume ratio. You all know this. And upon absorption of the galaxy light, almost all of the photon energy is deposited in the surface. Okay? And the confinement occurs because the dust temperature cannot increase to relieve the surface heat by thermal expansion. If you had heat capacity, the temperature would change, the cosmic dust would increase a little bit, and there'd be no confinement. But that doesn't happen by quantum mechanics. Now, Feynman's QED. When you talk about QED, you talk about Feynman. And what he basically argued was the QED is usually thought to be preceded by a complex relativistic theory based on virtual photons and others. Others have been arguing this point too. QED lacks experimental verification. Even Feynman's argument that light is made of virtual particles is conjecture, because only theories of light-matter interaction based on real photons can be verified. Now, what I'm going to propose is this, what I call a simple QED, and this is verifiable because it's based on real photons, and briefly stated, it's given here, and under the quantum mechanical restriction, the heat capacity of the atom vanishes. I think I've shown you this. The galaxy light absorbed in the dust surface creates standing electromagnetic radiation inside the cosmic dust. It has a half wavelength, lambda over 2 equal to d. And the Planck energy, given here, it turns out to be hc over 2nd. And this n is the refractive index of the dust, because it lowers the velocity of light in the solid state. This is the basic equation. Summarizing, simple QED converts the galaxy photon as a particle to a wave in cosmic dust and then back to a redshifted particle. Here I show a cosmic dust particle, galaxy photon as a particle coming in. Remember, it's in a vacuum, it's not a space. High S over V ratio, the energy goes into the surface. There's no temperature change by quantum mechanics. To conserve that, you produce a wave inside the nanoparticle with lambda over 2 equal to d. And it comes out as a redshifted photon, hc over 2 and d, and it comes out as a particle. Okay? Why? Because it's in a vacuum. This is the expression for the dust redshift, 2nd minus lambda over lambda. So the discussion, briefly, I don't have much time. Accelerated universe expansion and dark matter. Accelerated expansion. In 2001, SN here, a supernova, it was found to be brighter than it should have been. They knew roughly what the distance would be. Compared to the redshift, and they concluded there was an accelerated universe expansion. Here I show brightness. See here, it's an observer looking out. He sees a supernova. He thinks it's this distance. However, by redshift, when they measure the redshift in the manner that I've just described, they conclude it's much further away. Okay. Since this redshift ZD is greater than zero, it occurs further away, so what they measure is ZV plus ZD, but it's brighter because it's actually at ZV. And what this means is the accelerating universe is not physical, but rather an illusion caused by cosmic dust. Nevertheless, there was a Nobel Prize awarded in this. I guess the Nobel Committee didn't think of cosmic dust. Dark matter, 1970s, spiral galaxy. I mentioned this already. They found a flat velocity curve. Here I show a picture of a spiral galaxy. In this view, you can see it's rotating counterclockwise. And this is the velocity versus radius. And this is Newtonian mechanics. However, when they measured it, they found a flat curve, as you see here. Flat, higher. And on that basis, what I've done here, I've taken that same picture and put a coordinate system on it. As you can see, this is the nucleus. And I show an XY system, a YX. X is pointing to the earth. Y is orthogonal. And dust particles in this, there are many, right? I show three of them here. They're located at a distance theta from this X coordinate. And when the energy comes out, it excites the dust particle. Each dust particle will emit spherically radiation. Okay? And what will come to the earth will be A0 cosine theta. This is the velocity. You can see that no matter what happens, with the same diameter as 2nd, you're going to get the same velocity. So each point in this galaxy that has the same diameter is going to have the same velocity. So you get a flat curve. And line intensity is decreasing. And what this means is the flat curve is caused by dust, not dark matter. So the conclusion, by refuting the current cosmology for dark matter and universe expansion, perhaps cosmology may return to Einstein's once upon a time static and dynamic universe. And this talk has been very brief. I have on the web, so look at it, you'll find the same topic on the web. It's about a half hour presentation where I invoke other arguments in this. Well, that's all I have. Thank you very much. Any questions? You believe in dark matter? Even without my talk, a lot of people don't believe it. But... you have a question?
Thank you for coming. Just add an extra